This is a reading of the early lectures of Rudolf Steiner entitled The Christian Mystery. This is lecture 4.6, entitled The Schools for Adepts in the Past, The Mysteries of the Spirit, the Son, and the Father, given on March 7, 1907, in Düsseldorf. The movement for spiritual science is not something that came into our age through the arbitrary initiative of a single individual or this or that society. It is connected with the entire evolution of humanity, and as such is to be seen as one of the most important cultural impulses. If we wish to find our way into the mission of the movement for spiritual science, we must examine the past and the future of humankind. Just as individual human beings have undergone an evolution from the stage when they descended for the first time from the bosom of God as individual souls, so too all humankind has undergone a development. Just think of all the different changes and growth that have taken place on the surface of the earth in the course of millennia. How fundamentally everything has changed. What we usually refer to as humanity is only a result of the so-called fifth root race. A different humanity preceded it, the fourth root race, whose continent, Atlantis, we would have to seek between present-day Europe and America. Our ancestors saw Atlantis in an entirely different form. An altogether distinct culture ruled there. The ancient Atlantean was not educated in thinking and reasoning, but had instead highly developed atavistic, somnambulistic powers of clairvoyance. There were no logic, critical thinking, science, or art as they exist today, because human imagining, thinking, and willing were completely different. And a human being of that time could not combine, calculate, count, or read as they do today. But certain somnambulistic clairvoyant powers did live in the ancient Atlanteans. They could understand the language of nature, what God said to them in the splashing of waves, in the rolling thunder, in the rustling trees, in the delicate fragrance of flowers. They understood this language of nature and were in harmony with all of nature. There was no law or judicial system to help one neighbor get along with another. No, the Atlanteans went out and listened to the sounds of the trees, the wind, and they told them what they had to do. Folk legends, which are never arbitrary or merely made up, have retained the memories of ancient Atlantis, for example Nibelheim in the Nibelungenlied. It is indicated in a lovely way that the Rhine and all such rivers are made of water left over from the masses of water in the mists of ancient Atlantis. And the wisdom that remains from it is exemplified by the treasure hidden in the Rhine's depths. On this continent, between America and Europe, we also have the source of the ancient adepts, the school where those people stayed who were suited to become pupils of the great individualities, whom we call the masters of wisdom and harmony of feelings. The location of this school of adepts, the flowering of which occurred during the fourth subrace of ancient Atlantis, should be sought in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Pupils were taught in an entirely different way than they are today. Through the power that still lived in the word, it was possible for one human being to powerfully influence another. A delicate sense, a feeling for the inner spiritual esoteric power of the word still lives in rural people. The power of words today simply cannot be compared to what existed at that time. It was extremely powerful. The word itself awoke forces in the soul of the pupil. A mantra today has nowhere near the power of that time, when words were not permeated by thought. The effect of these words was to open up the soul forces of the pupil. It could be called a human initiation of powerful effect through the language of nature. A clear language was also spoken through vaporizing substances, through burning substances such as incense. There was a much more immediate connection between the soul of the teacher and that of the pupil. What existed as writing in the school of the adepts in ancient Atlantis was an imitation of processes in nature, which were drawn in the air with the hand. They had an effect, even an after-effect, on the spirit of the population of that time. They awoke forces in the soul. Every root and subrace has its task in the evolution of humanity. The goal of ours, the fifth main or root race, is called Manas, that is, to awaken human understanding through concepts and ideas. Every race has its task. The task of the Atlantean was the formation of the I. Ours, the fifth root race, the post-Atlantean epoch, has the formation of Manas, the spirit self, as its task. However, the achievements of the Atlanteans did not go under with the sinking of Atlantis. The essence of what existed in the Atlantean school for adepts was salvaged by a small core of people. This small number of people moved to a region known today as the Gobi Desert under the leadership of Manu. This little band reconstructed the earlier culture and teaching, but in a more thought-permeated way. It was the earlier spiritual powers translated into thoughts and signs. From this location, this center, the various cultural streams radiated forth, from the wonderful ancient pre-Vedic culture that translated the inward-flowing wisdom into thoughts for the first time. The second culture to proceed from the ancient school for adepts was the ancient Persian culture. The third was the Chaldean Babylonian with its wonderful star wisdom, its great priestly wisdom. The fourth blossomed in the Greek and Latin culture with its personal coloring. And finally came ours, the fifth culture. We are now living toward the sixth and seventh races. I have characterized our task in the evolution of humankind to translate into thoughts and bring down to the physical plane what has existed until now as cosmic wisdom. When ancient Atlanteans listened to the overtone among tones sounding forth to them, they heard the name of what they recognized as the divine Tao. In the Egyptian mysteries, you have this tone transferred to thoughts, in sound and sign, in the Tao sign, the Tao books. All knowledge, script, and thought came into the world only after the Atlantean epoch. Earlier, that knowledge never would have been written down. It would not have been understandable. We stand now in the middle of the development of Manas. Our fifth post-Atlantean subrace is developing a culture of reason. But, at the same time, it is bringing egotism to an absolute extreme. Even though it may sound grotesque, it can be said that there has never been so much power of understanding in the world and so little inner ability to see as in the present age. Thoughts are the furthest away from the inner essence of things, far away from inner spiritual vision. When a priest in Atlantean times wrote by making a sign in the air, the primary effect was an inner soul experience of the pupil. In the fourth, the Greco-Latin epoch, the personality factor came to the foreground. Individual art developed in Greece. In Rome, we find the personal element in the ruling of the state. In our time, we are experiencing egotism, the barren personal element, the arid intellect. But our task today is to grasp the esoteric in Manas, in the purest element of thought. Grasping the spiritual in this most delicate distillate of the brain is the actual mission of our time, making this thinking so powerful that it has something of an esoteric power. This is the task assigned to us in order that we may take our place in the future. Ancient Atlantis was destroyed by mighty floods of water. Ancient Lemuria by mighty firestorms. Our culture will also decline and fall, indeed, through the war of all against all. It awaits us. Our fifth root race will be ruined by egotism intensified to the utmost. At the same time, however, a small group of people will be formed who develop the power of Bodhi, the life spirit, through the force of thought, in order to then carry it over into the new culture. The striving human being's ability to produce will become greater and greater until the human personality has advanced so far that it has achieved the pinnacle of freedom. In our time, every single individual will have to find a kind of guiding spirit within the soul, Bodhi, the power of life spirit. If we were to approach the future, able to take up cultural impulses only as we did in the past, we would be approaching the fragmentation of humanity. What do we have now? People all want to be their own lord. Egotism and self-seeking have been carried to the extreme. A time is coming when no other authority will be recognized than one that people accept voluntarily, one whose power is based on voluntary trust. Those mysteries founded on the power of the Spirit are called the mysteries of the Spirit. Those that will be based in future on a foundation of trust, on the power of trust, are called the mysteries of the Father. We will conclude our culture with those mysteries. This new impulse, the power of trust, must come. Otherwise we are heading toward a splintering, toward a universal cult of the self and egotism. During the age of the mysteries of the Spirit, which was of course based on completely justified power, authority, and might, there were great individual sages. They were in possession of wisdom, and only those who endured difficult tests could be initiated by them. We are now moving toward the mysteries of the Father in the future, and must work toward the goal that every individual becomes wise. Will this help with the problem of egotism and the splintering of humanity? It most certainly will. For only when human beings receive the highest wisdom, from which they cannot stray, in which there are no private opinions, no personal points of view, but rather only one view, only then can they be unified. If people remain as they are, with their diversities and varying points of view, they will separate again and again. But the highest wisdom always produces the same view in all people. There is only one real wisdom, which brings people together again, simultaneously, with the greatest possible freedom, without any authoritarian compulsion whatsoever. Just as the members of the Great White Brotherhood are always in harmony with one another and with humanity, so too all human beings will one day be united through this wisdom. Footnote: according to esoteric, particularly theosophical tradition, the Great White Brotherhood is an ancient school of high masters or spiritual adepts, incarnate and otherwise, also called the Masters of Wisdom and of the Harmony of Sensations and Feelings. See Rudolf Steiner from the History and Contents of the First Section of the Esoteric School, 1904 to 1914, pages 191 and forward. White refers to light that contains all colors. End of footnote. Consequently, spiritual science need set for itself no other task than leading people to this idea, now through the development of the Spirit Self, and later through the Life Spirit. The great goal of the spiritual scientific movement is the freedom of the human being. Its mission is to make it possible for truth and wisdom to flow into human beings. The modern movement for science began with the most elementary teachings. Much of importance has been revealed in the years that have passed since the beginning of this movement, and yet more important things will be revealed more and more. The work of the spiritual scientific movement is to let the wisdom of the Great White Brotherhood, which had its origins in Atlantis, gradually flow out to the world. Such work was always prepared through long periods of time. As preparation for the great event of the unique appearance of Jesus Christ, we have the accomplishments of the great founders of religion. Spiritual science wants to be the executor of the legacy of Christianity, and it will be that. When the mysteries of the Father are one day fulfilled, that is, when the development of Bodhi has been completed in every individual human being, then all human beings will find their deepest being, Atman, spirit body, within themselves. The appearance of Jesus Christ was prepared through a series of religious teachers, through Zoroaster, Hermes, Moses, Orpheus, Pythagoras. All their teachings pursue the same goal, to cause wisdom to flow to humankind, but always in a form most suitable for the folk in question. Therefore, what Christ taught is not actually new. What is new in the appearance and teaching of Jesus Christ is that in Jesus Christ the power was present to bring to life all that formerly had been teaching only. Through Christianity, a power has arisen within humankind so that all people can be united in voluntary recognition of the authority of Jesus Christ with the greatest possible individualization. Through faith in him, in his appearance, his divinity, human beings can join together in a community. Therefore we find, standing between the mysteries of the Spirit and those of the Father, the mysteries of the Son. The source of these mysteries was the school of St. Paul, who assigned Dionysus the Areopagite to lead it. The school flourished during the time of Dionysus's leadership, for he taught these mysteries in a very special way, while Paul spread the teaching esoterically. From another side, we now want to seek an explanation of what it means to say that the mysteries of the Father are coming. The teachers of the ancient Atlantean adept schools were not human beings, but rather beings higher than human beings. They had completed the development on earlier planets, and these beings who were present from earlier planetary evolutions taught a carefully selected small band the mysteries of the Spirit. On special occasions in the mysteries of the Son, Christ himself appeared in person as teacher, as did a teacher who was not a human being, but a God. Those who become teachers in the mysteries of the Father will be the first to be teachers and human beings. Such human beings who have developed faster than the rest of humanity will then be the true masters of wisdom and harmony. They are called the Fathers. With the mysteries of the Father, the leadership of humanity will be transferred from beings who have descended from other worlds into the hands of human beings themselves. That is what is significant. The task of spiritual science is to create a nucleus of people for this goal, to prepare them for a common wisdom, for an authority that is based on trust only, to develop an understanding for this. The development of materialistic culture reached its high point in the 19th century. For this reason, the impulse behind spiritual science has come into the world at this time. With it was created and was present an impulse in opposition to materialism, pointing in the direction of spirituality. Spirit and science is nothing new, neither is the spiritual scientific movement. It is only a continuation of what was present before. Materialism and egotism bring the splintering of humankind, where single individuals are concerned only with their own interests. Wisdom must unite again the human beings who were thereby separated. They will be led together in wisdom, in complete freedom, with no compulsion at all. That is the task of the spiritual scientific movement in our time. We must realize that we have to acquire wisdom in its concrete details. We all know the example of the stove, the purpose of which is to warm a room. No matter how moving the words might be with which we explain to the stove its task, asking it to warm the room, still it will not do it. It can fulfill its purpose only if we build a fire in it. In a similar way, mere rhetoric concerning community and loving our neighbors has hardly any value. Knowledge alone brings us closer to the goal. For every individual and for humanity as a whole, the path to wisdom, to community, can be reached only through knowledge. We have followed this path through three kinds of initiation. Spiritual science must see to it that a small nucleus of people have an understanding for what has been said in order to be able to awaken in humanity at large an understanding of it. This is the task spiritual science must fulfill. A small portion of the fifth root race will develop in advance of the rest, spiritualizing manas, developing spirit self. The major portion, however, will achieve a pinnacle of self-seeking. This core of human beings that develops spirit self will be the seed of the sixth root race, and the most advanced of this nucleus, the masters, as we call them, coming forth from humankind, will then lead humanity. The movement for spirit knowledge strives toward this goal. The end of Lecture 4.6.